Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another interview. I'm here with Rebecca from, is it Blonde in the Belly of the Beast? Is that, you still go by that?
Yes. I wish I had picked a shorter moniker. Also, I don't live in Seattle anymore. At the time, I was very concerned about being doxxed, and now I don't care. So I am Rebecca Hargraves. I host a show called The Backlash with Dave Riley and Cameron McGregor. You can find us on YouTube at Real Backlash. You can find me on Twitter at blondes_tweets. I've been doing this for about 10 years now, coming up on 10 years.
Wow. Me also.
We're old. We're old timers.
Old heads. Well, just before we get going, I'll remind everyone to buy courses at the Academic Agency. All until the end of January, I have promo code SHORJAN. I'm going to save you the ad. I know you were a fan of Shredder, right? But it's
Shredder.
SHORJAN at the moment. But I played the ad so much, I think everybody's sick of it. So obviously, you're from America, which means I have to ask you about Donald Trump and MAGA. And I mean, since it's really been since the year started, since 2026 started. I mean, okay, 2025, in my view, was bad. Like, that was the year where I was like, finally, I'm done with Trump, right? And I'll tell you the exact moment I was done with Trump. I first knew something was up when Matt Gaetz was selected for that role, and then he was suddenly, like, there was some scandal and he was replaced with Pam Bondi. Okay, do you remember that? And I was like, look, if anybody's our guy, it's Gaetz, right? So when he wasn't picked, when he was out, I was like, I had a bad feeling about where MAGA was going. Then Trump comes in with all guns blazing, with all his executive orders, and the precise moment where I was like, I am done, because in the early months I was like, oh, something exciting could happen still. This still could be the real deal. There was the whole rumble in the White House with Zelensky, and I was like, wow, this is wild. This is amazing. That was the last time I was truly excited for something Trump. And I was like, I watched this guy, Brian Beletic, who said, look, it's all bullshit. It's all a big Punch and Judy show. There's a plan. It's a division of labor plan. Here's Pete Hegseth pointing it out. Nothing's going to happen. No matter what is said, they're going to stick to this plan. The war with Russians is not going to be over because NATO have got a plan. And Trump is a continuity agenda with the deep state. Basically, they wrote this plan down years ago. And that was like, oh, he's right. And then he was the only person who got that right. I thought, well, that's it for Zelensky. That's it for, we used to call him the Rat King. That's it. The Russian war's over. The Russians have won. It's over. Okay. Trump has done it. Didn't happen. And then there was Liberation Day. Okay. Mm-hmm. All these people writing essays. Oh, this is it. This is economic nationalism. It's never going to be the same. Globalism is over, guys. Blah, blah, blah. And you know, because I've got a bit of a background in econ, I was like, well, look. These formulas he's got up on that sign are just bullshit. They're just made up. The formula is stupid. They clearly did this on the back of a fag packet, right? It was just not, like, this is not serious stuff. And I had a debate with Dan from the Lotus Eaters, and I said, look, this Liberation Day stuff is not going to, like, this. And that was the moment, really, I would say, I am basically done with, like, I knew from that moment it's always going to be taco, Trump always chickens out. It's always going to be a letdown. It's always going to be the smoke and mirrors. And that was before it became obvious to me what I call Trump's law, which is everything he does for them. And you know who I'm talking about. Okay. So before we even get going here, are you still on the Trump train, Rebecca?
Oh, of course not. I voted for him in 2016, and then I did not vote in either election subsequently. Some major issues emerged. I mean, I had my skepticisms about him initially because he's a billionaire playboy. His personal life is kind of a disaster. He had all these suspicious associations. But because this was going to be such a disruption event, and it was anti-establishment. I was totally on board in 2016. And then for me, it was, I think this was in 2019. It was those first serious strikes. And then he passed an insane omnibus spending bill. And I was like, nope, absolutely not. And then he didn't really get anything accomplished in that initial presidency. So I didn't vote for him again. And I've been pretty much off the Trump train from about 2019 onward, I would say.
Right.
Yeah, I just didn't trust him. And then the more that I learned about the Kushner family, I'm like, I don't like this element of a royal alliance with these types. I don't know what you allow people to say on your YouTube channel, but I was like, you kind of sold off your daughter to some Hebes, didn't you? And once the alliance emerged between the Kushners and the Trumps, I was like, I don't like this at all. Once I really understood. So I've been off the train for a while, and it was really hard in this last election. People were smoking that hopium. They were really excited that things were going to be different this time. And I got a lot of pushback online for that.
Yeah, no, one of the weird things about Trump is that it's like that Godfather 3 meme, right? Just when I thought it was out, he pulls me back in, right? So, I mean, I also, during the first Trump one back in 2016-17, noticed this pattern, right? You know, it's all bullshit. He's appointed the wrong people. You know, he's not serious. Or, you know, it's happening. It's over again and again and again and again. Fell for it again and again, right? And so I, back then, was like, right, okay, I'm done with this. But then the cycle that pulled me back in was the election, was 2020, uh-huh. right? Which was like, well, because my rational brain again kicked in, right? Just like with the thing, I was like, look, there's just no way Joe Biden won 81 million votes, right? There's just no, every election ever, one person goes up, the other person goes down, okay? You don't get the incumbent going up and then the challenger going up even more. Something
right,
like,
right.
I was like, there's something weird about this election. And I still think to my grave, I'll know, regardless of what happens, something was up with that 2020 election.
Oh, of course.
And so,
absolutely.
I remember there was a distinct period during that where I was like, well, look, okay, regardless of what you make of Trump, this is ridiculous. You know, the regime, as we used to call them, what are they trying to do here? Right. And I watched it on the BBC. And they set up for it. They actually were setting up for it in the weeks leading in to the election. So that kind of, that was the last time I truly got in what we call the copium den, right? Because so many crazy things were happening. It was like, remember all those little schemes? Like, oh, is Mike Pence going to not put in the electors? Like, is he gonna, do you remember all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I had another moment where the wool really, the penny just dropped again. Do you remember all those characters like Sidney Powell, Giuliani, Mike Flynn? There was a whole like election crowd. Do you remember all of those guys?
Yes.
There was that old general, I forget his name now, but it was like this, you know, there was some old general who was around at that time, and they were all kind of, and I remember that they, on the night of the election, they had a podcast and it was so like shambolic and boomer, literally, literally not a single one of them. Cause there was this hope, the copium was, look, all of these guys know what they're doing. You know, they're in the background, they're working on it. They didn't have a clue. They absolutely Mm-mm. didn't have a clue. And Biden was about to get inaugurated. And then I'll never forget it. I watched this other live stream. And these guys were like, oh, look, you've got to understand Trump is still really the president. And Biden that you see in there is a hologram. I was like, gee. I mean, you know, we're talking like real stupid stuff now. That was, again, I was like, right, never again, never again. And then the other thing that pulled people back in, of course, was then they tried to arrest him and the Georgia mugshot mm-hmm. and then the assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. And after around that time, it was very difficult to remain kind of anti-Trump during that period, even though you kind of knew what he was about. So, I mean, I had this whole line running in that running into the election that it was my belief that the regime wanted Trump. Okay, and I know that was controversial, but I was like, look, Mark Zuckerberg has swapped his blue hat for a red hat, and the press is known, you know, the press is kind of no longer hostile, and they've started to criticize Biden. Once you've been around long enough, Rebecca, you start to see the, you know, Bill Maher is cracking a joke at Kamala Harris's expense, nudge, nudge.
Mm-hmm.
They were setting up for Trump to be the president.
Absolutely.
Right. It was so obvious. And I still will maintain the people who say it wasn't obvious are just lying. So, so I got kind of pretty annoyed with people not being honest during that period, because it was so obvious to me that Trump was gearing up to be the president. But then even within that, I thought, well, he might still do some good stuff. And then, like, I mean, I would say since that summer last year, the 12-day war with Iran and all that, it is, I mean, we have seen things that are just beyond the, just beyond my wildest imagination, the stuff we've seen, you know, the cycles we've seen, you know, Tucker Carlson, anti-Semite of the year, and, you know, Mark Levin screaming blue murder and all of that stuff that we've seen. And yet people are still back. Like, even after we've seen, like, they've revealed the whole thing to us, and people are still back sucking on the copium pipe. I don't understand it.
Well, it's very difficult to admit that you were wrong. And people in America, especially, they sacrificed greatly for their support of Donald Trump. They lost jobs. They lost family relationships. They lost friendships. I mean, people's children sometimes would stop talking to them, their parents. I mean, it's very hard to be like, I lost all of that for this. And I think that that is probably, that there's a lot of emotion surrounding the Trump presidency and the Trump aura. And people have a really hard time admitting that they were wrong about that. Now, in 2016, I don't think that we were wrong, because he absolutely destroyed mainstream media. He might have done some good things with the Supreme Court, but what Americans are failing to do that are still on the Trump train, they're not ascending, they're not transcending the duplicitous nature of the two-party system or the system in general. They're not seeing that this is all fake and gay, that nothing can truly get accomplished so long as we're allies with Israel. And it's really hard for people to take that next step. It's painful, and you have to undo a lifetime of propaganda, which I don't think most people are intellectually capable of, nor do they have the personal motivation. And they just don't want to get there. They don't want to get there. And then Trump periodically does these superficial things that are empowering to the base. Like, we're seeing a lot of optics surrounding ICE raids and things like that. But how many people has he actually deported? Like 300 to 600,000? That's basically nothing. He just made a speech 2 days ago saying, well, we can't kick people out if they have jobs, if they're working at the luncheonettes, if they're working in cafeteria. It's like, no, you need to deport like 40 million people. They came here. You can kick them out. We can do this. This can be done. We can find a way. We can find some kind of logistical operation to achieve this. It's not an impossibility. So I think that everybody should be looking at this and like, oh, you're just going to kick out like a fraction of illegal Mexicans, but you're letting in all of these Chinese students, these H-1Bs that are taking high-tech jobs and jobs that require higher education. Like, that is so much more of a problem for the average American than illegals that you can identify much more easily and that are taking manual labor positions. So as people are witnessing the demographic change, it is somewhat confounding that they're not coming around in the masses. But I think it's happening. I think it's happening slowly. Although I disagree. Like, nothing that has happened has really surprised me in the last year. I'm not surprised at all.
Well, why don't we go through some of the stuff in recent, like, just the past couple of weeks, because there's been about 10 stories that's happened in the past couple of weeks, right? Why don't we start with this ICE thing? Because, I mean, again, there's been quite a bit of a split between, let's just say, the European right and the British right to some extent, and MAGAtards in the past couple of weeks. Not total. There are still, I mean, there are some British guys who, I'm convinced they do it because they don't want to lose their American audience. Okay. I don't care. I'll kick them in the teeth, as you know where I'm at. Right? There are some people who are like, oh, I don't want to lose subs, you know, fuck it. When you, this is the advantage of being around for 10 years, right? You just don't, you learn, you just
you don't care,
right? You just don't care.
And none of our channels are growing anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Right, so I don't really mind, but some people are kind of watching it. So they have this line where it's like, oh, you know, forget about Greenland. How about Trump invade Britain? Wouldn't it be funny? Ha ha ha. You know, that's kind of the, like, this is the kind of line that people are taking where, you know, don't kidnap Maduro, take out Starmer, you know, invade us type thing, which is a weird thing to be arguing if your whole thing is, I'm a flag waving patriot.
Okay? Right.
And like, in this country, the left are taking advantage of that. And I can see, like, the mainstream media point out all the time, because, you know, normal people are like, you know, what are you even saying, mate? One of the things I wonder about, though, in this country, the ICE stuff is played really badly, like really badly, because all we see is, well, Trump's hired a bunch of these guys who look like they're barely trained. Our media presents it almost like Trump has got stormtroopers or brown shirts or something, right? That these are just Trump's thugs. That's how they call them. And, you know, they shot a mother of three in broad daylight. And you go on social media and all of the MAGA people are trying to defend this. And even worse than that, kind of celebrating it or memeing it or making fun of it. And I'm just thinking, well, this is a bad look. This just looks terrible. And all of that moral capital that was built up from, you know, leftoids persecuting conservatives or Charlie Kirk or any of that, it's just been pissed away, because now they just look like everything the left have been saying for the past decade. And I'm just thinking, well, look, if the Democrats get back in, it's over for you guys. You're setting up the situation where we're going to be persecuted, like right wingers are going to be persecuted properly, and they're going to have justification, because it's like, well, look, when you guys were in power, you literally did act like this. But how is it actually playing in America, the ICE stuff? Is this just kind of...
Oh, I think that people are... I'm seeing some pushback on this particular shooting that you're talking about. But when you dive into the characteristics of both parties involved, it's it's a really interesting microcosm of modern American culture, because she, child abusing lesbian who had two children taken away from her, and she was like looking for trouble. You know, she was going to all these protests. She was, and if you watch the video, she clearly drove into him. Now, this guy that shot her, could he have avoided it? I don't know. Probably. But he is married to a Filipino woman, and he's engaging in attempts for chain migration for her family as well. So I look at this and I'm like, this is ICE probably flexing too much, but she's a traitor to the white race. So I don't particularly care that she's dead. I mean, she fucked around, she found out. But is this ICE guy somebody that should be upheld by MAGA conservatives? No, he's engaging in the same kind of moral degeneracy that I would argue she is. So both of these parties are detestable. I mean, that's the nuanced position that people don't want to take. Everybody has an opinion on this ICE thing. Like, ICE is bad, that this is too militaristic. But when you look at the people involved, it's like, well, this is exactly what's going to continue to happen. I mean, this is the first chain in a number of events that are going to be similar. Because this is what happens when the American populace, when any populace sees their demographic changes happening, they see that their jobs are getting taken, their neighborhoods aren't safe anymore, then they're like, okay, authoritarianism now. And I am really sympathetic to that. But I don't think that ICE is really the operation that's going to restore our demographic order. I mean, I'm not delusional about that. And I don't think that Trump really cares either. Mm-hmm. So is there a goon element? Yeah, probably. But if he was actually our guy and he was sending out a bunch of stormtroopers, I would be all for that. Absolutely. I'm like, go ahead, violate all the civil liberties. I don't give a shit.
So, well, this is one of the weird things, right? Because like the way I'm looking at it, unless Trump is prepared to basically become a fascist, okay, I just don't see any scenario where the Democrats don't get back in, and this time they're going to be properly serious. This time people are going to go to jail, for real, right? because all of the, you know, they're annoyed. And when the Democrats don't mess around, like the left don't play power games, you know, as kayfabe, they mean it. And this is the paradox, right? So on liberal media at the moment, you know, I listen to this station called LBT. It's basically a shit-lib London radio station, okay? And every day now, they've been saying, like, look, they've got, I tell you who they have on a lot is Mary Trump, who is like Trump's niece or something like this, but she hates him. Every day they're on there saying, like, look, you don't understand. These ice goons are going to interfere with the midterms. They're going to intimidate voters on voting day. They're going to hang around in black and brown areas, intimidating voters, okay? And Trump is going to try to cancel the midterms if he thinks they're going to lose. This is the talking point in the liberal media now. All day, every day, they're saying this, okay? They've got this guy, this Washington correspondent with a weird voice who repeats this. They're all on the same page. I assume this is a Democrat talking point coming over here, okay? But I know, I'm just thinking Trump is just never going to do any of those things, right? But they believe he is going to, like, the difference is when they used to call Trump a fascist and Hitler and all that sort of stuff, it was farcical, it was stupid, it was just, the, you know, now when they call him that, on the face of it, he does seem kind of pretty fascisty, but he's like just dipping his toe in. And you can't he sat there in the White House and he said, oh, I don't really care about law. My morality is above the law. Okay. All those constitutional guys and Judge Knapp and stuff, they went crazy at that. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've read my Thomas Hobbes and Carl Schmitt and all that. That is what Trump is flirting with when he says that sort of stuff. But I mean, you can't skinny dip in the Rubicon, as somebody once said. You cannot play with that stuff and not actually do it. And what my fear is, this is going to sound weird, is that he isn't actually the Democrats' worst nightmare. He's not going to cancel the midterm. He's not going to harass people on, and because he's not going to do that stuff, they're going to get back in, and then it's going to be a open season on conservatives in America. Am I wrong?
Well, I think that we have a different culture here of violent independence, and they would just usher in an era of revolt. I mean, everybody in Idaho, a lot of people in America are just armed to the teeth. And if there was some sort of like coming to our door, we're going to arrest you thing, I mean, I would hate to be the person that was doing that job. It's just not going to fly here. I mean, they could try to make an example of a few people, but it's not going to be effective. It's going to rally true conservatives, and it's going to rally the dissident right, which is an ever-growing part of the population here. As in terms of Trump genuinely being fascistic, I mean, that I just look at him and he seems weak. He seems disorganized. His cabinet is in chaos. I don't really think that he has that much power. And I don't really think that he knows what's going on all the time. He seems increasingly like he has dementia. There's something Joe Biden-y going on with Trump right now. So do I really think that he's at the helm? No. But if the left thinks that they're going to start arresting people, they have gravely underestimated the situation. It's going to get violent real quick, and people are going to defend themselves. I mean, no one's going to just going to lay down and take this. I'm actually not particularly concerned about it. One thing I am worried about is that Americans don't understand what true authoritarianism looks like. And they don't understand that it might be some kind of necessity to undo the degeneracy of our current culture. And maybe that's what we need. Maybe it's what we need to undo all of this, but it can't be Trump. He doesn't have the teeth for it. He doesn't have the ideologies for it. And I don't want it to be Trump. But if we truly have some kind of right-wing fascist that comes in, I will be cheering that one on.
Interesting. See, there was me thinking, you know, you could get a blue Caesar for a while, Gavin Newsom, someone like that. But let's just pretend now, Gavin Newsom comes in and promptly arrests Matt Walsh. I'd be for it. I'd love it. Wouldn't you?
Matt Walsh is the worst.
Some of these people are awful. Wouldn't you love it? Awful. I would love it. I'd cheer it on. I'd be like, go. me and Richard Spencer would be like, yay.
Richard Spencer has really emerged as a thought leader. He got summarily canceled for a few years there, but he's come out swinging. So
who still talked to him and still listened to him and never kind of, because there was one moment every single person hated Dickie back in the day, right? And I was like, and I remember I did a whole show which was called Maddow or Spencer, where I read out statements and I would be like, is it Rachel Maddow or is it Richard Spencer? And genuinely, it was impossible to tell. But I mean, I kind of like, you know, he hates conservatives, right? Spencer.
Yeah.
I kind of do as well. I've come to really hate them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the conservatives have a lot of the same problems as those on the left do. And I hate constitutional conservatives, mm-hmm. and I hate libertarians. Neither philosophy makes any sense. Yeah. And as we can see, as has been evidenced over the last many decades, constitutional protections are not just going to provide justice and safety to all of us if we don't adhere to them, if we have demographic replacement. Like, the Constitution is totally irrelevant at this point. And so I don't want to hear it from conservatives anymore. Like, colloquially, I call myself a conservative. Mm-hmm. Am I truly conservative? No, I'm talking about loving the right fascist right now. I mean, I don't think I'm actually a conservative, but I still use the term.
Right. Yeah. I mean, from my point, for me, what do I know? But from my observation, it seems to me that the GOP have just captured MAGA, and MAGA have been absorbed into in this country we call it the blob, but just into the system again. And so they've basically just degenerated into the conservatives. You know, Trump hanging out with Lindsey Graham, and you know, now my timeline, people who used to be based are just like, they might as well be wearing pom-pom skirts as cheerleaders. Yeah. You know, my least favorite person in the world is Captive Dreamer. I fucking hate the guy because because there's like, yeah, there is nothing that he won't get on board with and try to justify. You know, if Trump like took a shit on his face and smeared it all over Captive Dreamer's face, he'd find a way. Oh yeah, that's genius, Mr. President. You know, 4D chess. Oh, this is actually the best thing to do. Did you know back in 676, people smeared shit on their face all the time? This is the base thing to do. This is what I mean. It doesn't matter what it is. These clowns will find a way to, you know, puff it up, basically. And like, I always want to just tell the truth. Tell the truth, analyze things as they are. Okay. And when your team are doing good stuff, bat for that. But I mean, I don't know. Do you watch Murdoch back in the day?
Like, oh yeah.
Right. Do you remember there was that episode where they're going across this bridge? And it's like the bridge of the red hats and the blue hats. And they're like little crocodiles. and to me, it just looks like it's turned back to that. They're like the blue hats and the red hats. And this is whether it's ICE or whatever else, from a distance, they just look the same. Like your blue-haired lesbian Antifa troon woke monstrosity and your MAGA tard, to me, they look the same.
Right, right, right. And that's why this last year was important, because the difference is not whether or not you're conservative, whether or not you're on the left. The difference is, do you understand internet? And if you do, then I can form some kind of alliance with you, maybe. But if you don't, you have no idea what's going on. You can't understand geopolitics in a meaningful way. And your opinion is not informed, and I can't listen to you about anything. So that is something that has really happened this year. And that's why Tucker went, you know, is he accurately predicted that this was going to be such an essential part of the conversation that it was the only way to retain relevancy. Do I think he's being authentic? I don't know. Probably not. But the fact that he's talking about it, I do think it's important. I hate saying the Overton window, but I do think it's important to reach the masses, to reach the normies that will start unraveling this mystery, because it takes a long time to get there. I mean, what I believed in 2016, what I believe in 2026 are very different. And it was a decade-long process to genuinely understand how deep this thing goes. And I just don't have the tolerance for people that aren't there yet, because I'm like, why? Are you not intellectually curious enough to find out about the power structure that governs all of us? And it just makes me really intolerant to those, to that worldview. And that's why I'm probably harder on conservatives that haven't gotten there yet, because they've had exposure to it. And they've already dealt with some of this other rising. And so I'm like, you're already being isolated from your community. Can't you take that extra step to explore this topic that is very important, that is so central to everything? And those that didn't, I just think that they lack moral courage.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty difficult to discuss Trump without getting into Zionism at the very least, or the personal hold of, you know, the lobby over people like Lindsey Graham and Trump's closeness to them now, or, you know, you can't really get away from it. I will say, though, and this is something we could explore before we wrap up here. Past couple of weeks, you know, I've got this thing, Trump's Law. Everything he does, you know, for the Zionists, essentially, or for his donors, Adelson, people like this. Past couple of weeks, though, it's been, he's done a couple of things that have got my head scratching, where I can't see the, you know, there was Venezuela, there was this whole deal with Greenland that seems to have wrapped up today. There was, I mean, he had Tucker Carlson in the White House. No, Tucker Carlson won anti-Semite of the year, and yet Trump is hosting him at the White House. Trump must know that, you know. And then the whole business with Iran played out in a very, obviously I'm half Iranian, so I took a special interest in that. But it played out in this strange way where it's almost like, obviously the regime change operation was botched. And it was all set up for, you know, they'd all set up for this regime change. Trump said, oh, go on, go in the streets, we'll help you out. Then he didn't. Then the boats were headed over there and he turned them around. And I'm like, it was again one of those moments where I was like, somebody's got in his ear? Has he changed his mind? It's just been, and then in his speech at Davos, he actually kind of called out Netanyahu and he said, oh, we built the Iron Dome, by the way. Stop boasting about that. That was us. It was kind of, what's going on there? It's trouble in Trump's Law.
Well, I think that he's an egomaniacal narcissist, and his polling has been absolutely plummeting. And he too, like Tucker, and why he brought Tucker in, is seeing that this is a losing proposition from a popularity standpoint. Mm-hmm. And Trump's thing, what he does is, if he sees his approval numbers falling, which I think hurts him and his self-perception, he'll do something superficial to try to nod to those people and bring them back into the hopium cycle, mm-hmm, of which we were just discussing, to bring them back. And so he'll do these little things, these little superficial things. They're generally meaningless. I mean, we have a tendency to really try to read into everything that Trump does, but I just don't think he's that deep of a man. And so I think he's operating in his self-interest. Maybe that's Trump's Law. He operates in his self-interest. And so he's just doing this nod of like, oh, look, I got this based journalist with the biggest podcast in the entire world. Look, I'm hanging out with him. Aren't I so cool? I understand your plight. The Iran thing, he might have gotten some misinformation. Maybe somebody got in his ear. Maybe he realized how wildly unpopular this was going to be. And the Netanyahu thing, I mean, that's an easy way, throwing a little shade at Netanyahu, that's an easy way to suggest to his base that maybe he understands the Zionism problem without doing anything material. Mm. And that is what he's very good at. I mean, that's what the entire ICE operation is. He's not actually deporting 40 million people like he needs to. He's just... it's these spectacles of these individual things that make it look like they are stormtroopers when they're really not.
I mean, this is something Joseph Jordan has talked about quite a lot, where he says, I mean, he pointed out a long time ago, whenever Trump is gearing up for a massive betrayal, that will be when he's at his most based, because he's trying to win base points back, give the base stuff to talk about and cheer about when he's gearing up for something. And in fact, there's talk that there's a big military buildup in the Middle East now, so maybe we are gearing up for something in Iran. Who knows? But I've had another theory on this, and again, this could just be my own copium, right? It's my belief that Tucker Carlson is still connected with the American deep state in some way, that he's CIA or something like this. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that a lot of the most prominent anti-Israel voices that are kept around are people who are either Trump adjacent or a part of MAGA in some way. Bannon, who used to be pro-Israel and it isn't. To someone who's really surprised me is Robert Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that lawyer. Now, like Robert Barnes, the boomer lawyer. This is like the most boomer guy ever. And he's suddenly like massively anti-Israel. The people pundit guy who Robert Barnes hangs out with, the entire Judge Knapp crew, right, who were mates of Trump's at one point. I'm trying to think. Matt Gaetz is pretty anti-Israel. And I'm like, does Trump deliberately keep these guys around? Like, they're not canceled. They're not taken off air. None of the interviews that went on were taken down by YouTube. They let it all play, right? And I wonder, does Trump, as the constant kind of New York gangster type mobster, keep them around to keep the Zios on their toes? So he's got leverage back against them always, because like you said, he's an egomaniac, right? And this is not me saying that he's not bought and paid for and that he's not, but it's still Trump's way of getting a bit of autonomy back, getting something that he's like, well, look, if you go too far, I'll just empower these guys over here. So he's got like a plan B or an insurance policy to come back on them. I don't know. Is this me coping? I don't know.
Well, I've abandoned all 4D chess theories with Trump because I think fundamentally he's short-sighted and stupid. So I think that he's probably doing this. I think that this is the initiation of a classic limited hangout,
right?
Where the American public can feel like we're allowed to talk about without anything meaningful ever happening to deal with it. And I think that all of these people are engaging in that. They're talking about Zionism, but are they very frankly talking about? Inextricably linked with Zionism. Like, I'm not seeing until we get some of that. I'm just going to feel like we are in a limited hangout because we are.
Yeah, I feel like they keep that sort of discussion that you're talking about is firewalled off. It's like, I talked to you about this before, like Dave Smith, right? Dave Smith will give you a lot, or Max Blumenthal, or some of these kind of characters, very critical of Israel. But they don't want to get into some of these sorts of questions. And yeah, it's kind of, it may be a case of the question I want to ask is, what are the actual aims of having this stuff out there? And I think the ultimate aim still will be something like ultimately a bringing down of Netanyahu, who they can pin a lot of this on.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They can pin a lot of it on him. So you're like, well, he was a real bad egg, but, you know, the rest of us aren't that bad type thing. And also a kind of making Israel normal again, like just being a normal country. And again, because I'm a realist, I'm thinking, well, you know, you're not going to. I don't think without talking about those other issues at the moment, I still don't feel like. You can go, like, I still feel like you can't really go there in the kind of public conversation, because where's it going to lead to? What policy is going to lead to? Whereas if you focus all the stuff on that, at least you can, in a way, stop it having such a massive impact on American foreign policy, on, you know, like who are politicians are. You know, I mean, I was looking at Lindsey Graham the other day. They were like, oh, well, in the entirety of 2025, he mentioned South Carolina zero times.
Right.
Whereas he mentioned Israel like over 100 times. And, you know, or, you know, you mentioned Iran a ton of times. All his stuff's about foreign policy. Or like Ted Cruz is another one. You know, he's meant to represent Texas, but he spends all his time talking about this sort of stuff. So it's like, you know, this is something that I think you have to take baby steps towards, right? And I get you,
right,
you want to have the whole cake, right? But I feel like we have to kind of get to that bit first, because the other thing is that the left at the moment are, and this is one of the reasons it's done, I think, the left are ready to have that conversation about Zionist interests and about Israel. And of course, on the left, they support the Palestinian cause. Okay. And I've been, you know, I've got some friends on the left. I've been chewed out for not being pro-Palestine enough, right? Well, okay. But you know what I mean, right? They're in for that. What they're not up for is what you might call classic anti-Semitism, where it's just like, oh, you're talking about all Jewish people now. You know, what about my friend David here? Or what about this guy who's really pro-Palestinian? Or what about Dave Smith and all of that sort of stuff?
Right.
It's like, at the minute, it's like the Israel conversation is one that everybody's ready to have, whereas this much broader question, I feel, is still got enough legacy from what happened in the mid-century and so on, that the taboos are still there.
Well, I mean, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they just don't have any goodwill left over from it. They don't care about it at all. And so they're not going to be able to use that for that much longer, which is why claims of anti-Semitism are ramping up. They're trying to get some of that leverage back. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, one of the issues about keeping this in the Zionist issue exclusively to policy and what this limited hangout is about, is that there is this fear that it will progress, which is a necessary progression. It's an obvious progression to not identify these things as policy issues, but to identify them as spiritual issues. Mm-hmm. And that is the transition that people need to go through. Like, this is not Zionism right now.
You mean the religion? Unpack this a bit, because this is one of those things where when I'm watching something and they start talking about blood libel and Amalek and my eyes glaze over, I don't have a fucking clue what they're talking about at all. And, you know, this is where you get the Adam Green stuff and I'm like, dude, you know, I'm just trying to do politics here. I have to have a degree in kind of weird Middle Eastern theology now. So why don't you unpack some of this? Why is the religion important?
I think that there's another step there, that it's not like purely focused on the religion, but there's the religion out of it, because I think it's emotionally charged. But if you look If you're talking to me about some Protestant, some like white German Protestant that converts to Judaism, I'm not worried about that guy. I don't care about that guy. I'm worried about when I hear people talk about Zionism, I'm like, yeah, all right, we got policy problems. I understand that. I'm not denying that at all. But there's a larger issue here. And also I kind of turn off a little bit when it comes to like the deep-seated religious stuff, because fundamentally I believe in genetics and I believe in genetic legacy, and generally people fulfill their genetic legacy. And I'm saying, I think that's important. That's a conversation that needs to be had.
Well, I mean, if you know, what they'd say is, the trouble is, Rebecca, you're engaging in classic. These are tropes and canards. That's what they always say. That's what is always said when this sort of talk happens. What's your comeback to that if somebody says that to you?
Well, I mean, stereotypes exist for a reason, you know. They're the underpinning of every stereotype is a shitload of data. Why do you cross the street at night when you see or from the past that has some validity? And I'm fine with that label. I don't really care.
All right. I don't know how much of this I can put out.
Just put it all out. Put it all out. It's okay.
I don't live in a free country. You have to understand.
But these are not your opinions. They're my opinions.
I don't know if that matters. There's a thing. I don't know what counts or what doesn't. So we'll see. We'll see how much I can.
That's the problem with your country. But we might be there soon. So who knows?
I'll have a little chop and change this one, but people will be able to guess what we were talking about.
Maybe we can put it behind a paywall.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, I'll put out like an uncensored, uncut version of Rebecca Unleashed from the backlash. 10 minutes, but I'll just say the words trope and canard were mentioned at least twice. before we get going, do you think that it's over for Trump and MAGA in the midterms?
Oh yeah, I mean, but I'm so apathetic about political and systemic solutions that I'm not invested in the midterms. I'm not invested in voting. I mean, there is an argument to be made that local politics are important, but I'm just totally checked out of this realm of American politics because I think it's all fake and gay, and I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to engage in it, and I don't vote because I don't think women should vote. So I don't know. I'm not really thinking about it too much, but I think MAGA's dead. I think it's DOA. I think it's toast. I think there's no future for it.
Yeah, no, I tend to, for me, the fun has gone out of it. The memes seem forced.
Yeah.
Everything seems forced and inorganic in a way that it didn't before. And everybody's been outed as a phony. You know what I mean? Like once you find out that all these guys are secretly part of a network where they're getting paid off, or I can't get excited about that anymore. Oh, look at this guy I used to follow. He's got a show now. I don't care.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
It's not exciting anymore. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, yeah.
All those exciting things aren't exciting.
Our little underground movement became popular and it's not cool anymore.
Exactly.
And now I have to wear a leather jacket to get that feeling back.
I'm just old. All right. Where can people find you, Rebecca?
You can find me at Twitter at blondes, plural, _ tweets. Well, it wouldn't be plural, but it's written like that. You can find me on my YouTube channel. That is Rebecca Hargraves, Blonde in the Belly of the Beast. You can find my show, The Backlash, at Real Backlash on YouTube, Backlash Pod on Rumble. Check it out.
Fantastic. And I'll just remind people, promo code Shawjan, 25% off all courses up until 31st of January. Most importantly of all, get out and listen, it's going to kick us out, and then I'll send you a new link, okay?
Okay.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends,
Get out.